news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
More than 98% of U.S. residents now live in an area with a high or substantial risk of COVID-19 community transmission. That's a CDC metric that involves case numbers and test positivity rates. Just a month ago, that figure was only at 19%. In some areas, like Cobb County in Georgia, some schools have already had to switch to virtual learning to keep kids safe from rising infections. Yes, the Delta variant of COVID-19 is surging faster than any of the other surges we've seen so far during the pandemic. And go figure, the spread is worse in areas with governors who are fighting masks and vaccinations. In Mississippi, Dr. Alan Jones is Associate Vice Chancellor, Clinical Affairs for the University of Mississippi, and he fired a warning shot on Wednesday, explaining how close the state of Mississippi is to a complete failure of its hospital system.
Since the pandemic, I think the thing that hospitals have feared the most is just total failure of the hospital system. We're hopeful that, you know, we can get people to wear masks and get vaccinated and kind of stay away from each other, and that this rapid rate of rise that we're seeing will peak or plateau pretty quickly here, so that we don't get into a situation where there is nowhere to transfer a patient at all and we have to stop ambulances and some of the things that we just don't want to do as a system. That is our nightmare. We do not want to do that, because we know when we do that, you know, not the COVID patients, but all the other patients, the heart attacks and the strokes and all these other things that we need to take care of that have time-sensitive care issues, we're not going to be able to take care of. I hope people can just understand that it is a very serious situation. I don't want to say dire, and I don't want to say that we have reached the point of failure, but we are definitely headed that way.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced on Wednesday that school employees statewide must be vaccinated or undergo weekly testing for COVID-19. California is the first state to enact such requirements. The California Teachers Association pushed hard to get its members access to the vaccines when they were first made available. And reports say about 90% of members have been vaccinated. California's largest school district, Los Angeles Unified, is requiring all students and employees, vaccinated or unvaccinated, to get tested weekly to contain the spread. Meanwhile, governors in Florida and Texas are doubling down on their no-mask mandate proclamations as hospitals are filling up with Delta variant infected people of all ages. At a meeting of the Williamson County School Board Tuesday night, that's just south of Nashville, doctors who spoke in favor of masks to protect the kids going back to school were not only berated but threatened by anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers. As the speakers left the session, they were heckled by the crowd gathered, one man saying, "We know who you are. You can leave freely, but we will find you."
And everybody's taking notes, buddy. Keep that little smug.
We know who you are.
We know who you are.
You can leave freely,
but we will find you, and we know who you are.
You will never be allowed in public again. You will never be allowed. You'll never let him be allowed in public again.
Amazing. The Food and Drug Administration will revise its emergency use authorizations for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines as soon as Thursday, allowing immunocompromised adults to get a third dose. Moving on to Congress, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling the House back from its summer recess about a month early on August 23rd so they can vote on the $3.5 trillion budget resolution passed by the Senate early Wednesday morning. But she's hitting some resistance. There are reportedly six so-called moderate House Democrats who've indicated that they will oppose this budget blueprint unless the Speaker puts the Senate past BIF, or bipartisan infrastructure bill, up for a vote at the same time. But Pelosi reiterated her stance during a House Democratic conference call on Wednesday. She said, no BIF vote in the House until the Senate passes its reconciliation bill. She explained that it's simple math. She said that she doesn't have the votes to pass one without the other. Quote, I'm not freelancing. This is the consensus of the caucus. She said the votes in the House and Senate depend on us having both bills. By the way, the speaker can only lose three votes. So this sets up another big standoff in Washington, pitting Nancy Pelosi against some of the centrist or so-called moderate members of her caucus who are vulnerable in the next election. That's what we call a tightrope. The Senate Judiciary Committee is investigating the last weeks of the Trump presidency and the pressure his administration put on the Justice Department to claim that the election was stolen. During closed-door testimony on Wednesday, former U.S. attorney from Atlanta, Byung J. Pak, told the committee that he resigned suddenly in January after he was told that the then-president was going to fire him because he refused to say that there was widespread voter fraud in Georgia. Pak said the warning came on January 3rd from Justice Department officials who told him that Trump was not happy when Pak announced that he had investigated Trump's claims of voter fraud in Fulton County and found nothing. That was the same day that audio was leaked to the Washington Post of a January 2nd phone call that Trump had with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, during which Trump asked him to find the number of votes needed to overturn the election results and make him the victor. So there was this weird symposium put on by Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, for the last couple of days. Mike Lindell was on the stage as his so-called experts were spouting off mumbo-jumbo trying to explain their stance. Well, he abruptly left the stage on Wednesday, just moments after a federal judge in Washington ruled that Dominion Voting Systems can proceed with its $3 billion defamation lawsuits against former Trump lawyers Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and the MyPillow guy, all of whom accused Dominion of rigging the 2020 election against the former guy. U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, appointed by Donald Trump, rejected the three defendants' motions to dismiss the Dominion suit. He wrote that Powell and Lindell in particular made claims about the voting machine company, quote, knowing that they were false or with reckless disregard for the truth. Dominion has filed seven defamation lawsuits against Trump allies and so-called news organizations that spread their allegedly defamatory claims. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.